Forget that. Place where nobody wanted to be if they were Jewish. Okay? But then you have it early in the day. I'm not sure, did we read that part? It says, yes, at the end of verse 6, it was about the sixth hour. Now, they reckon time from 6 a.m. Okay? So the sixth hour is noon, hottest part of the day. Put yourself in the, you know, in the Middle East at noon. Sun is beating down. You've been there. And my son's there now. Hot part of the day. And he and she has to go now. And she comes alone. Why? Because women didn't travel alone back then. Linda was telling me how she was going back to the bike trail. She was really all lit up about how pretty it was yesterday. She took the dog for a ride or a walk. And she got to the edge of the woods. And she thought, man, I just want to go. But she says, you know what? I'm not going into those woods. Because I know that a woman has no business in woods alone. And so it has been for this beginning of time. Women running alone in quiet places is foolishness. It's dangerous. But she came alone because she had no friends. She was an outcast of the outcast. She was a woman that was looked down upon by those who everybody else looked down upon. She was a woman who had to come and get water at the hottest part of the day because most women went and got water early in the day when it was still cool outside. But she came alone. And it just so happened, there sat Jesus. And what's very interesting is I've read this passage many times, and the Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Seems like a very concrete statement. In fact, it's in the imperative mood. But what we don't see is that from the way it's laid out in the original, it's a polite request. I almost picture Jesus leaning over on that well, smiling because he got it. I know why I'm here. Because literally what he said was, you must give me to drink. You see, he knew that he had to talk to this woman, that if there was one reason why he was there that day, it was that this woman needed what he had to offer. And he says, you must give me to drink. Because it clicked, he knew. And there are times when you're going through things, you say, man, I don't know why my life's going like this. I don't know why things are out of control. I don't know why God has asked me to go this way, or I don't know why. But I am there. I'm saying, okay, God, you're God, I'm not. And there comes a point where it clicks. For some of you who've heard my story, I was driving with my family back to my in-laws, my sister-in-law and brother-in-law's home, and we're driving in our van, got all three kids in the van, my wife and me, and we're traveling our 500 miles or 450, 500 mile trip all the way across Pennsylvania, and my engine blows up. And Amber can tell you, we're all kind of like, okay, we got to throw it neutral. I'm driving, fortunately, because I'm like, I got to, I think I was driving. At any rate, I thought I might have told Melinda to put it neutral, but we're all going like this. All right, guys, let's go. Car blew up. I kid you not, for a mile or 2 miles, because it was a slight grade, you can't really tell in the mountains after a while, you lose perspective, but we rolled right into a rest stop and parked. And I was aggravated. I was weary. I'm in the middle of Pennsylvania. My car blew up. My kids are here. And this guy is there. He's the guy who's running the stop rest stop. And this guy is there. And he's asking me if I need some help. Now, no, I don't want any help. I didn't say it quite that bad, but I was, I can handle this. I'm a man. Got my family. I'll make a phone call. We'll fix this. What was very interesting about that is that I had to go back to that place, and I felt badly about how I snapped at the guy. I didn't snap bad, but I snapped bad enough to prick my heart and make me feel bad. So when I went back, and I'm arranging a tow and everything, I said, sir, I just want to say to you, I'm sorry, I was a little short the other day. I mean, my car blew up a little intense. I said, I hope I didn't put you off. I said, I'm a believer in Christ, and I just am sorry. He said, oh, no, no, I completely understand. And I tell you this, this guy was a World War II veteran who needed to be born again. And I got the chance to share Jesus with him because my car blew up. And I said, this verse here says that all liars, all murderers, all immoral people, they have their part in a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I said to him, as I often do, I said, you know, how many times do you have to kill somebody to be a murderer? Because I was showing him that, I was going to show him that telling a lie is in the same category as murdering. And I said to him, how many times do you have to murder someone? He says, oh, I've done that. From World War II, this dear man lived under the guilt of having killed in battle and thought he of himself, when he looked in the mirror, as a murderer. And I shared with him from the Word of God how God does not look at what he did in service to his country as murder, but went on to show him the unsearchable riches about Jesus, and that no matter what he had done, he could be forgiven, and that man got saved. Now, beloved, if that's not manipulating of the circumstances, if that's not must need go through Samaria, I don't know what is. Beloved, you and I are on call for God. If we'll just ride the tide, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not about you. It's about what God is doing. And God is in the saving business. He pressed Jesus, and when Jesus got it, he laughed. You know what? I laughed like that when I thought, I got a witness to that guy. And when he said what he said, and when he bowed his heart and got forgiveness in the middle of Pennsylvania, some no place in the middle of the wilderness, God put a man in his way and said, you need to know Jesus loves you, and it's going to be okay. He moves heaven and earth to bring people into our world, and the Bible tells us that friendliness is what God desires out of us. And what's interesting is not only were all these circumstances manipulated by God, but even the woman was getting it. She was perceiving something weird about this, because she says there in verse 7, there came this woman. He said, give me to drink. And then in verse 9 it says, then said the woman unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, askest to drink of me? How is it? In fact, literally, it's how is it that you ask to drink beside me? The word of me is the word para. We get the word parakletos. It means beside. You remember paramedic. He's not a medic. He's a paramedic. He's on the phone getting direction, you see. Beside. How is it that you just happen to be here beside me? She's like, what is with this? It's the hottest part of the day. Here's this Jewish rabbi. I can tell he's got something going on. And he's laughing, saying, I got to ask you for a drink. I got nothing to draw with. I got to ask you for a drink. You see, God is in the works. He's in the midst of the details. He wants us to get ourselves rightly positioned with Him so we can be His arrows. So we can be His battle axe. So we can charge the gates of hell. As God's people, He wants us to be. This is His desire for us. But it's also a deterrent to ruin. Because this woman was on her way down, just like that man who thought he was a murderer was on his way down. And the Bible says there, let your eye fall to verse 10, where it says, then Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now what's interesting, when he says, if thou knewest, it's a form in we have it in English, but in the Greek it's there too, and it's not very often used. It's called the pluperfect. We've probably all heard of that. But what it literally means is that if you had perfected knowledge from past experience, and the implication is, which you should have had. In other words, if you had known who it was that asked you, or if you had known the gift of God, in other words, she should have known what it was. She should have known. You see, she's positioned right couch, sandwiched, if you will. The Mediterranean Sea on the one side, there's Samaria, you got Galilee, you got the side over here on the east side of the Jordan River with all those Israelites, and then you got south, you got Judah. I mean, she should have known. And for most of us as Christians, we understand that in America we are hugely blessed because people should know what the gift of God is, but they don't. They're sitting around wondering, what's the gift of God? I don't even know what that means. I know I've got to be a good person, I believe in God, you know, and yet they should know. If there's one question you ought to ask and get an answer for, it is the question of how can I be saved? That ought to be the one question. Because you're not getting out alive. Nobody is. And the Bible says that this woman is standing there, and Jesus said, if you had just come to that place where you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, and if you knew who it was that was asking for you from a drink from you, you would have asked and I would have given. You ought to underline those words if you have your Bible. You would have asked of him, and I would have given. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. I like that. You know, all we got to do is reach out the hand of a beggar to receive this gift from the King. It's a gift bought and paid for. If you would have known the gift of God, and they should have. How should they? The way that the Israelites knew. There was the tabernacle in their wanderings. There was the temple in their steadfast city of Jerusalem. And they had the priesthood. And they had the Holy of Holies. And they had the sacrificial system. And what God would do was God would bring them to a point where they would, day after day, run headlong into the fact that they were failures. Morally. That they would mess up and they'd have to go and offer another goat or another sheep. They would mess up and they'd have to constantly go back. And after a while, they'd get worn out with the process. And they'd say, you know what? God is trying to get me to say something, just like you and I. If I said this morning, and we were talking on the Beatitudes, and of course we pointed out that the word blessed are the poor. Blessed means happy, and how to find happiness. How do you find real happiness? And so I said that enough to where toward the end of the hour I said, God wants us to be, and the boy said, one of the guys said, happy, because he got it. And God had the sacrificial system set up to provoke that answer. God wants to cover our sins. God really wants to forgive us our sins. God really has provided a way to forgive our sins. This was what the whole process was about. He says, if you had known the gift of God, God wants to forgive. It's a gift. You don't deserve it. What this bull has to do with anything is nothing except that God's saying, I want to forgive you. You deserve to die, but I'll take the bull. I'll take the lamb. I'll take this goat. I'll take this dove if you're poor. I'll take whatever you got. Just come to me because I want to forgive you. That's what I want to do. I want to forgive you. I want to set you right. I want to fix your situation. And he said, and if you would have known who it is that asks of you, you would have asked. You would have asked and I would have given. And the woman saith unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? He said, I would have given you from living water and you'd have never thirsted again. He's going to tell her. But the point of this is he's talking about living water. Now, the well that they had there was Jacob's well. And where it's located, we know archaeologically, has the idea that it's basically fed from rainwater. You see, some wells are filled from bubbling springs. It's a fresher, colder water. But then there are some that just has the wetlands dynamic. Yes, the water goes into the grounds, it's filtered, and it's good water. But it's not the same as a bubbling spring. He's telling her, if you'd asked me, I'd